coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup,
boy.
I love Java, sweet and hot.
Good afternoon, everyone. You have tuned into the Caffeine Stream on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Nicole Slavin, your host, and our producer today is Jack Inslee. Our engineer is Nat Wiener. Our show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch, raisers of grass-fed cattle out in California. And today I'm joined by Gaylene Quinn. She's returned as my co-host. Very enamored of Panamanian specialty coffees and Central America in general, from the neighboring country of Colombia. She now lives in New York. And our guest today is Ed O'Brien, who's recently returned from the Peace Corps after a three-year post in Panama working with green coffee growers. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome, Gaylene.
Thanks for having us back. It's so much fun to be here.
Yeah. So, Ed, you now are living in Massachusetts, right? You returned home in August.
Yep.
And where were you in Panama?
I was in a small town for 2 years called Quebracaña in the Comarca Nove Bugle. And then the third year, I was based out of a town called San Felix in Chiriquí, but I was traveling around all over the country.
So our listeners have an idea geographically, where are these both within Panama?
About an hour and a half in a bus from the Costa Rican border, so in close to the Pacific Ocean. So.
On the southern side.
Southwestern.
Southwestern. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Beautiful. And you decided to go to the Peace Corps. I mean, what prompted this? You were a student, I recall, at Wesleyan University.
Yep.
And you graduated in 2005.
Yep.
And what happened after that?
I taught English as a second language in D.C., and I had lived in Mexico for a year studying abroad. And I liked working outside. I wanted to work in another country, and I wanted to work in development. I liked a lot of my students from El Salvador and Guatemala that I was teaching English, and great people to work with.
So Central America in general was sort of a passion. And were you able to choose Panama? I know with the Peace Corps, you can't necessarily choose where you're going to go.
No, they have, you choose, you kind of put down a preference for regions. So I put Latin America as my number one preference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that you spoke Spanish, you know, that was kind of like a logical step to go to Latin America somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you know what you'd be working with before you got there? Did you...
Before I got there, I got a packet in the mail. They give you an invitation and they tell you what program you're in and they kind of outline, the different things they do. So I knew coffee was, one of the options. But you go there, you work down there for a bit during training and they kind of decide where they want to put you.
So. And your Spanish was pretty good.
Yeah, it was decent when I got there. Yeah.
And you had a couple of months where you had the intense training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upon getting there.
Mm-hmm. Were you into coffee at all before you got there?
I loved to drink it before I went. So
you were interested anyway?
Yeah, I was definitely interested in it.
So it must have been excited when you knew that you were going to be working in Panama, which are now some of the best coffees that you can find, at least in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then working with Spanish-speaking people.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked on Google before I went, of course.
Yeah.
And
I saw, you Googled.
Yeah, I Googled the Peace Corps and saw some work that other volunteers were doing. Some volunteers had sort of started this coffee program, and I saw it on like some stuff on about it online, and it looked really interesting.
Awesome. So did you live with a family there? Were you in your own home? Where did you live? What were your accommodations like?
The first 2.5 months I was living with a family in near Panama City during the training. And then after that, I moved out to this sort of indigenous reservation.
Okay.
And lived with a family for about 8 months. And I got the chance to sort of build a small shack next to their house.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then where was that? Was that right near Panama City as well? How far?
Maybe 6.5 hours towards Costa Rica on a bus. And then about an hour and a half on a truck.
Not so close.
Yeah, very close. No.
Wow. So now what was your role when you started working within the community?
I was working to sort of connect them to there are a lot of, there's a, you know, already a great coffee producers coming out of Panama and they were interested in helping to connect, to improve the quality and the price of the coffee of these farmers on this reservation. And so working to sort of facilitate workshops that they were helping us to put on.
Right. You're talking about the Boquete farmers, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Very good
and
coffee.
Did you give them business training as well? Or was this more sort of agricultural?
I'd say the majority of the stuff we were focusing on the first year, 2 years, was post-harvest production.
Okay.
So the processing, post-harvest processing and, and improving the quality.
Right, and drying and maybe systems management as well.
Yeah, and then after that, a friend of mine named Maria Ruato, she did a lot of stuff with tomato farmers doing agbiz stuff, and we kind of took that the third year of a couple of my friends, a couple of the volunteers, helped to sort of scale that out, I guess, and work with more farmers.
Was the Peace Corps by any chance involved in the fact that the Nobe Bugle region has mostly organic coffee, or was it something that was part of their tradition? I'm curious to see.
Lack of chemicals
and
fertilizers.
Lack of money to actually buy the fertilizers. I don't know.
Yeah, for most farmers, it was too expensive from what I could see. The chemicals were expensive, and then to get them out there was very expensive, so it wasn't readily available. And since it's not a food they eat, coffee, it was just something they grew, I guess, naturally, I'd say, not necessarily organically, because they, but it was, I guess it was organic, but it was mostly necessary.
Did you drink much coffee while you were there? Did you drink much coffee while you were there?
Tons of coffee.
You did?
Yeah.
And generally, what type? I mean, was it Tipica or Catura?
Most of the stuff they were growing was Tipica, Catura, Catuai.
Some bourbon?
Maybe, yeah. I think there were small farms, but most of it was mixed, and it was mostly Tipica, I'd say.
Great.
That's actually quite interesting. Who was doing the tastings over there to understand, what coffee was good, what coffee was remarkable? Was there any sort of training for the community?
Yeah, there was a push. The commercially already, the Boquete farmers already, of course, knew all of that, or they're experts in that stuff. And they helped us to try to teach people tasting, cupping. But there's still a lot to be left for that. It was mostly farmers would go and work on a farm, and then they'd bring back seeds and plant those seeds. Hmm. So if that farm was producing Tipica, they'd have a Tipica farm.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll taste a little bit of our own coffee here and continue talking with Ed O'Brien.
Great.
Caffeine Stream. I'm your host, Nicole Slavin, and I'm here today with Gaylene Quinn and Ed O'Brien. Right before we signed on today, Gaylene got a chance to brew us some beautiful coffee from Panama in the mocha outside here at Roberta's on a butane burner. We're drinking the Carmen Estate.
Yeah, I have to say that it's really an amazing coffee. The nose, it has a lot of flowers in it, and then when you actually taste it, it's almost buttery to me.
This is a really coffee nice from picture. Stumptown Coffee Roasters in Red Hook now. We're going to talk with them a little bit later.
No wonder.
Yeah. And this is the varietal is Catura and Tipica. It's funny, when we opened the bag, we pre-ground it. We've lost our grinder here at the station, but we pre-ground it. And when we opened it, Gaylene had mentioned that absolutely like, smelled like chocolate.
Yeah, it was, and it actually looked like chocolate when you, it looked like cocoa powder almost.
And on the palate, I definitely get, you know, totally like a Belgian milk chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of stone fruit. Really beautiful.
Delicious.
So we've been talking with Ed O'Brien about his time in Panama in the Peace Corps. And we started talking about some of the challenges. I know it's, you know, you're alone a lot of the time. You were with a family that had 12 kids, but at the same time, you're living in your own house. What were some of the work challenges that you found as well?
I guess trying to figure out what people are most interested in. And yeah, I'd say that. And trying to convince me, I guess trying to find the best farmers and convincing and gaining trust, I guess, would be the biggest challenge.
Right. Yeah. To assimilate as an American, maybe. And politically, were you, I mean, did you feel sort of like you understood the country and the community,
the culture,
really well?
At the end of 3 years.
Maybe. It took that long.
Yeah.
Right. And then now that you're back in the States, what are you thinking that might happen with your training? Where will that go?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at trying to get a job, maybe with coffee. I'm interested in how do you leverage something like coffee to do development? How do you help people who are, you know, who are in low income situations, who have the potential to grow something like coffee to to take advantage of the market here or maybe there as well?
Right. I mean, what we hear a lot about, I think, or what we read a lot about, Gaylene and I, about Panama tends to be about how incredibly biodiverse the country is. And we have heard a lot about the deforestation that's taken place there. And
yeah, that's definitely an issue, apparently, in Panama. And there are a lot of people that are saying that the coffee growers, the main coffee growers, are taking part of
the national forest.
Yeah, the forest, and growing coffee there. There is an area close to the volcán.
Yeah,
they're saying that that's been taken. So I think I was curious to see if that was also an issue there, if people were aware, if you saw anything related to that.
Well, I'd say
in
that
the country,
the big producers that are selling specialty coffee that export, they were. All the ones I met were, you know, very much about conservation and trying to figure out how to preserve what Panama had and trying to, you know, increase biodiversity and use coffee to help create more habitats for birds and other, you know, wildlife. This thing about the Parque Amistad or whatever, it seemed like a very small amount of the park. And I imagine it's locals who may be just trying to make some extra money. I doubt that it's anyone who's selling, exporting coffee.
Yeah, you were telling me before we actually started the show that there are some bigger issues related to cattle and other...
Yeah, I guess I'd say it's... I guess from what I saw, yeah, cattle seem to be like some people trying to get into cattle farming in the Darien, for example, other parts of the country, or teak farms.
But, so the arid land was being used for to become pasture land.
Yeah, yeah.
And, as opposed to being remain agricultural.
Right.
Exactly.
We need more specialty coffee coming from Panama, like the Carmen Estate.
Definitely.
So we're going to take a quick break now, and then we're going to check in with Stumptown Coffee Roasters in Red Hook.
Okay, great. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Caffeine Stream. We're here live at Roberta's in Bushwick, and we have a call into Stumptown Coffee Roasters in Red Hook. Ryan, Ed, are you on the line?
I'm here, Nicole. It's Ed.
Awesome. Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'm here at the studio with the lovely Gaylene Quinn and Ed O'Brien, and we've been drinking the Panama Carmen Estate that you all have roasted recently.
Good job, Ed. It was really, really good.
It's delicious. We made it, Gaylene actually brewed it in the mocha in the garden here out back.
Yeah, but I don't want to take the credit for that.
Right.
That really
right.
Amazing coffee.
Right. So how long have you all been roasting out in Red Hook?
We've been roasting out here for about 2.5 months now.
Yeah, and how's it going?
It's going pretty good. We're getting all the equipment dialed in, and just getting really excited about providing New York with some delicious coffee from all over the world. It's awesome. Wow.
So today we're focusing on Panama, and you roast there the Duncan Estate, the Carmen Estate, and the Don Patchy.
That's right.
The Geisha varietal. So not to get too technical for our listeners who might not be that versed, but in general, I mean, what are you doing with each bean? What's the sort of resounding difference with each of these coffees?
Well, Nicole, I'll tell you. We approach the coffees from Panama a little bit differently because Panama is definitely known for higher quality coffee. Hold on just one second.
Can you hold me a second?
Okay, cool. He's just about to start
up
a very loud piece of equipment.
Sorry, it brings us right to the source here. We're excited.
He's actually pouring coffee from Panama into the green loader. But Panama has some super high quality coffee because of the diverse microclimate, and it's got great elevation, which usually produces a much higher quality coffee and harder beans. So, you know, they're able to take a little more heat, but they're also more delicate. So, you know, we have to be gentle and make sure we're monitoring every step of the roasting process, just to make sure that we can maintain the quality that comes out of that country.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we enjoyed the Carmen. We thought that when we opened up the bag, that it smelled a lot like chocolate.
Yeah, it was.
And got that on the palate as well.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a gorgeous coffee.
Are there any of these, I'm sorry, I was just curious, are there any of these coffees that you're roasting organic or not yet?
Some of them are, the Duncan is certified organic. A lot of times they'll need to use some sort of fertilizers the cost of certifying a farm to become organic is quite costly, even though a lot of times they might be using organic practices for, you know, decades before. But the Duncan is certified. The Carmen, I believe, is as well.
So what is in the roaster right now? Which one?
What are you roasting right now? Panama Carmen. Great
wow.
Timing.
Perfect. Same. Perfect. And we actually, I picked this up at Cafe Peddler on Court Street in Brooklyn. And where else can we send our listeners to pick up the Carmen?
Oh, yeah, they have to try it.
Can they buy it through your site?
By our cafe in Manhattan in the lobby of the Ace Hotel. It's a super awesome place. The baristas are all very knowledgeable and super excited about the coffees coming out of this little roastery down in Red Hook.
Great. Right.
Let me ask you something, Ed, since you're so knowledgeable. I'm just wondering if you've ever heard about the coffee that is coming from the Nobu Bugle. Bugle, is that the right?
Yeah, Nobe Bugle.
Nobe Bugle area.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard about it? Have you had the opportunity to taste it?
I have. I've actually tasted it. I've tasted a few before, just from a couple different roasters. But right now we're trying to focus on a couple different farms and our relationships with those people before expanding. I know the Nobes are definitely kind of making a lot of progress towards producing some coffee that's actually, you know, really giving some of the other farmers some run for their money, which is great. I think last year, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the producers got 16th place in the Panama Best of Panama contest.
Yep, in 2007.
2007, that was...
Or 2008, sorry.
That had to be a big deal for them, you know, because they spend, from what I understand, a lot of their time and energy harvesting other people's coffee instead of their own, and they have probably the highest elevation out of everybody in that area. Is that correct?
It's comparable to Boquete.
Yeah.
Well, you must feel proud. Yes. Yeah, that's part of your work.
Small. I don't know.
A contribution.
It's fun to work on that project. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite out there, Ed Kaufman?
Do I have a favorite?
Panama coffee?
Panama?
Yeah. Is it the Geisha, the Tipica, the Catura?
Finca Esmeralda?
I think the Carmen is definitely my favorite right now. The Don Pachi, the Geisha varietal, is really nice. It's a very complex coffee. It's definitely a nice treat in the afternoon.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. It sounds like there's a lot going on there. We're excited to have this local roaster bringing
exciting.
Us this beautiful direct trade coffee. So thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
All right, wonderful. So that was Ed Kaufman talking with us from Stumptown Coffee Roasters in Red Hook. Ed, thank you so much for being here today. I wonder if there's anything else that you'd like to share with us regarding your time with the Peace Corps in Panama.
No, just that thanks very much for having me on, and I'd encourage anyone who's into coffee to visit
awesome.
Panama and anyone who's interested in development to think about the Peace Corps.
And you keep a fairly active blog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can we find that?
It's edeocoffee@wordpress.com.
edeocoffee@wordpress.com. Awesome. Gaylene, thank you so much for being here today. It was terrific having you back on the show.
As always, thank you.
Wonderful. So you've been listening to the Caffeine Stream here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'd like to again thank our sponsor, Hearst Ranch. And you can tune into our archives at heritageradionetwork.com. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. A cup.